trust me, it's bad enough when you have babies that are wanted that you got to worry about. When you got babies coming that are unwanted, they're going to be neglected, they're going to be abandoned, they're going to be abused. And guess who's going to have to pay for that? Just the very society, the very Republicans who are talking about balancing the budget, they don't want to pay for welfare. They're trying to figure out a way to defund Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security if they can get their hands on it, if they get bold enough to try to touch it. So they don't want to pay for them when they get them here. But, and then if they act up, they're going to lock them up. And then if you manage to get the kids in school, one day some fool may come in there and shoot them up and kill them. Because the Republicans are allowing all these guns on the street.
You know, Professor Harvey, what you'll hear from Republicans who, when you talk about these issues, they'll say, well, you know, the Democrats, they won't ever address the fact that they've got some people who are as dangerous as anybody, any of our enemies globally. You've got some Republicans that are as dangerous as anything outside of the borders of this country. And so we've got to get to a point, Professor Harvey, where, you know, you call that like it is. You know,
well, you know, when you talk about hardening targets, that's the thing that gets me. We got to harden the targets. We got to make our schools harden targets. Give me a break. We have the most powerful military the world has ever seen in world history, Earl. Do you hear me? And I've spent a lifetime of academia studying American military, you know, history. And we, this country has the most powerful military in world history. Now, and of course, with our elite combat of armed groups, with the special elite groups, the Marines and everyone else, the SEALs and Rangers and Delta Force and Green Beret and all those elite forces, the Air Assault and Airborne, all those elite forces. We've got all these advanced weapon systems. And now, on top of that, you want to sit right here and of course, the Republicans and some conservatives will argue that's the reason why you need a more powerful, you know, armed citizenry. Well, first of all, dummy and stupid, that's a crazy attitude to take. Because on one hand, you want a powerful military, and then once you create that powerful military, you're afraid that they may take your freedoms away, so you want guns to deal with them. So the first, the key thing you have to realize there is you're not armed enough to be able to stop the tactical team coming in if they want to come in there and take you out. You're not. So let's just face it. You're arguing up the wrong tree. We will never be able to out-arm our military, which we as taxpayers pay to arm and train. And so it's a stupid argument, and it's a dangerous one. And to me, what I've heard over the last couple of weeks, the most dangerous argument is now you're climbing inside of a woman's body and telling a woman what to do with her body. Earl, are we in Afghanistan with Sharia law telling a woman what she can and what she can't do? We have reduced ourselves to that.
Hey, so, Professor Harvey, a lot of stuff to talk about. We got to get you in next week, see if your schedule will allow, because we got so much catching up to do. But one of the subjects I was going to talk about today was Capitol Hill lawmakers introduced bipartisan resolution to end unauthorized American involvement in Yemen. How many of the American people know anything about our military involvement in Yemen? How many American people know that there's over 350,000 people that have been killed in the war in Yemen? How many Americans know we're in war in Yemen?
Well, how many of them even know where Yemen is? I mean, that's the first thing you have to ask yourself. And the big question is, I mean, which political party is pushing it? You know, I mean, who's pushing it? Is it just to make a political statement? Because every one of the presidents we've had since Ronald Reagan has had ourselves in clandestine operations combined in the Middle East doing something. That's why we have those special elite teams. They're there, and we don't even know they're there.
Yeah, and it hasn't been authorized by Congress. Okay.
No, it doesn't have to be. It's a presidential action. If he sees it necessary to go in there and take somebody out, they're going to do it.
So 360,000 people have been killed in Yemen, in a war in Yemen, that we are participating in, and the American people know nothing about it.
Well, Earl, you know, I always tell people that when I talk about, you know, those areas over there in Western Asia now and other parts of the world, I always try to tell them, do you have a map handy? And if you do, sit down and I'll talk you through the map. Because when they look at a map, then all of a sudden the red light goes on. You know, and the conflict that's going on right now in those areas of Western Asia, that's Asia. People have to understand in the West what Asia is. Whether it's Eastern Asia, where we spend most of our time thinking about Asia, or Central Asia, which is where India and Pakistan and Afghanistan are, or when we're talking about Western Asia, which is where Israel, Syria, most of Turkey, Iraq, Iran, all those places, that's Western Asia. And if you know anything about Asian history, you will know that Western societies have had difficulty dealing with peoples in the Asian countries. And if you stop to think about it, since 1941, the United States in some form or fashion has been engaged in a war in Asia, from World War II all the way up through Vietnam, with Korea, Vietnam, and recently Iraq, Iraq, Afghanistan, and we've been flirting with conflict with Iran, and we've even engaged in some things in Syria. And I tell people something, we haven't seen the last of what's happening there yet, because one of the dumbest things that Donald Trump did while he was in office was to sit there and announce without any kind of political fanfare or whatever, or understanding what's going on, awarding the Golan Heights to Israel. Earl, that is a recipe for disaster, and I would assure people that over the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to see a major explosion of the conflict there, because the Syrians, one of their sticking points has always been to get back to Golan Heights, just like Egypt, under Bill Clinton, had to push through and get the Sinai back for Egypt before Israel and Egypt could sit down and talk to each other. Well, once Syria gets over that revolution, you're going to see Syria come back and demand that they get the Golan Heights back. So, I mean, these are the kind of things that are going on in Western Asia that nobody talks about. We just mentioned Middle East, and we don't specify what's going on there.
So Saudi Arabia is at the root of what is happening in Yemen, and we are supporting the Saudis. And all of it is based on, you know, the resources, the oil resources.
But look at where Yemen is, Earl, and then take a look at the Red Sea. The Red Sea is right there where, you know, ships have to pass through.
Right.
It's a commerce zone where ships have to pass through, and America always has a permanent aircraft carrier station right out, even out there in the Arabian Sea or in the Indian Ocean, somewhere around the mouth of that Red Sea, going up towards the Suez Canal. And at the same time, America has a permanent carrier battle group residence in the Mediterranean, not only to support NATO, but to keep an eye on keeping open that Suez Canal.
So this is only two canals
in the world.
So that this is what they mean by always strategic interests of the United States. They never point it out. They'll just say our strategic interests.
It's strategic because 90% of the world's exports pass, you know, they 90% of the world's exports, you know, are sent to countries all over the world. Most of the exports in the world are shipped by sea. It is important that he who controls the waves controls that narrative. And the United States, there's a reason why they have 10 of those super carriers out there, Nimitz class, and now the most recent one that's coming out now is the Gerald Ford class to replace the Nimitz class over the next 40 years. Those carrier battle groups are out there, at least 7 of them at all times, 7 of the 10 are out there at all times in the oceans, and their primary objective is to keep open the Suez Canal and Panama Canal. And if you understand anything about maritime history, you know that he who controls the waves controls the world's economic market. And that entity happens to be the United States, the offspring of Great Britain, who for over 300 years, Great Britain controlled the waves and they controlled the global narrative. So that's a significant thing to learn about history and about military history. You know, so that those controls, the United States got to control the Red Sea, and they got to control the area in and around the Mediterranean, which feeds through the Suez in the Red to the Red Sea, and then they got to control the Panama Canal on both the Atlantic and the Pacific side, always keeping the carrier battle group somewhere around there to make sure that those shipping lanes for those billions and billions and billions of tons of goods sail through unmolested.
So President Biden is now talking about pulling out of this ongoing war and battle with Yemen. He announced an end to the support of the coalition's offensive operations that have caused the slaughter of all these people. And yet, you know, people talk about the slaughter of the people in Ukraine. Nowhere near the amount of people have been slaughtered in Ukraine in a sure. declared war, Professor Harvey, than the amount of people who are being killed in Yemen. And yet, we're not aware of it.
Well, see, but the thing is, it's a backwater conflict, and that's how we see it. The threat to our European allies is a major threat. And you see that they're talking about 100,000 refugees coming to the United States without even a drop of thought. Just like we had all those immigrants coming from Cuba without a drop of thought. But the moment they start coming from Haiti, we had some issues.
Right.
So the same thing is happening here.
Listen, we've got to go to a break. Professor Harvey, hang on a second.
Okay, man.
Yeah, can you hang on?
Sure.
All right, hang on, Professor Harvey. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into The Earl Ingram Show. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. Let me hear you say it's not thing. I do.